This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Shariz Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. It is Monday, the 3rd of June. Can you imagine we're already in June, guys?
Yeah, we're in the 6-month mark. So fast.
It feels like just it feels like just yesterday that 2019 started, and
that's
we're
right.
Now nearly halfway through the year.
That's right.
Can it's you? Amazing.
It's been fun, though, spending time with you guys, right?
I hope so. You don't have much choice, Shariz.
Yeah, well, I do, but yeah, I wouldn't pick anything else.
But at least he's going to have you're going to have a couple of days off to maybe become a little bit fonder of us in our absence.
Yeah, following suit after you. You had some time off.
I had some time off, and now it's your turn this week because it's Hari Raya. Yeah,
That's right. Hari Raya starts Wednesday, hopefully. It's a Tuesday in Vietnam, I was told.
Is it?
Yeah, one day early. I don't understand how this whole calendar thing works. I'm trying to figure out why we can't synchronize calendars.
When do you come back, Shariz, to work after Raya?
Next week.
Don't forget our kuih kuih, okay? That's the most important thing, right?
Submit your orders now.
All our snacks, our rendang, our serunding, please bring it to the office. We're looking forward to it.
Can, no problem.
Excellent stuff. Now, but in the meantime, what are we going to be talking about today?
Okay, well, everybody's traveling back to their kampong, and some of us, it's going to be an empty city. But at the same time, just a reminder, everyone, please be courteous on the road when you do get back. Last week, we had an incident, isn't it? With regards to road bullying, it didn't end well with the person, with the perpetrator. I guess and social media has been talking about it, and whether or not the punishment is, whether the punishment is fair. So we're going to discuss about that later on.
And I'll be talking about whether you are pro-conservation or you're pro-development, because should city skylines be changed for it?
And we'll actually be running a poll very shortly about the story, the road rage story. So he has been, the perpetrator has been sentenced to a year's jail. And we're asking if you think that that sentence was too harsh. So be sure to head over to the BFM Twitter, that's at BFM Radio, and vote. And of course, you can always let us know also at BFM Radio what you think about our stories. And you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 if you want to weigh in on the conversation. Up next, we're going to be talking about the key to a perfect holiday. But first, You Can Do Better Than Me by Death Cab for Cutie, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Pulang Di Hari Raya by Nur Kumalasari, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shariz and Xiaoning. So since the Hari Raya holiday is coming up, we thought, when you take a holiday, sometimes you feel the need to make the most out of your time off. So there's this article in The Quartz, and that says sometimes the most liberating holidays means planning nothing. Obviously, this doesn't mean spending the entire holiday in front of your TV, but it means having the freedom to make or change plans as you see fit. And I'm wondering where you fall in this argument, guys, because I know I am a very stressed out traveler, so I tend to plan my holidays as best I can. I don't think I'd be able to just go into a holiday with absolutely no plans whatsoever.
I don't understand you, Lynn. You're single, and you're when you go on holiday, just chill, man. You don't have to worry
because you have a family and you have kids, so you have to plan around that, right?
Yeah, and we're tired as well. So we give in to that tiredness. I think we won't get out of bed. So I think plans really help. Just to get you out of bed, make sure that you realize that you've got something to do during the day. If not, yeah, it won't work. It won't work.
So you have these...
I have plans, so that's where I'm going.
But they're not like super detailed, right? So like morning I do activity A and afternoon I do activity B.
We do.
But this is Shariz is just out of necessity. But I think you do this too, don't you, Xiaoning?
Yes.
That's not really out of necessity.
You make it sound like as if I'm the weird one over here.
I am Miss Control Freak. I have a spreadsheet.
Okay.
You have a spreadsheet.
That's a whole new level together. Right?
So if let's say I'm going like, three cities in Europe, I would have a spreadsheet for every day. And it would be like 7 to 9, and then 9 to noon, and then noon to 3, and it will detail everything, all the transportation, where to have tea, where to have lunch, what museum, right down to even which is the shortest entry point to a place, the shortest queue, so that I can maximize my time. Or if I'm taking a train, I would even try and know which platform should I get onto. So I don't like being lost. I'm kind of weird that way.
So Shariat and I are just giving you utterly blank looks in the studio this morning,
right?
Because I cannot fathom planning to this level of detail. Admittedly, I do plan. So I will say, okay, we're going to place A on Monday. We're going to place B on Tuesday. We're going to eat in this place. So let's go and eat in this. Let's go and hang around this area. But that's really as far as it goes. I do have an uncle, and I'm throwing him under the bus here because he is a lot like you, Shaning, except he also goes a little bit further. And he actually goes on to Google Maps and figures out how long it will take to walk from, say, the restaurant you're eating at to the next train station. So he will budget that 7 minutes walking time into his spreadsheets.
I download the maps so I know the best way to get to a restaurant, but I don't necessarily plan the full 7-8 minutes. I do give myself some leeway. I'm not completely crazy. A little bit crazy, but not completely crazy.
Yeah.
But you know, the holidays are such that you can do a lot of things, but sometimes your plans just get thrown out of the window.
Yeah, so that's the other thing, right? Because part of the reason why I refuse to plan in a lot of detail is that sometimes the reverse happens. It doesn't calm me down. It stresses me out when those plans get interrupted or get thrown out the window, as you said. So I actually prefer to just give myself that little bit of leeway so that I don't stress myself out when the other people I'm traveling with decide to change my plans.
Okay. I don't get disrupted. Number one, I mean, okay, there's two sides. I have time when I travel on my own, when I do my business travel, and then when there's an opportunity, I'll go out. And then there are times when I'm with my family. My family, it's a very simple holiday, just to share with you. Normally, we'll just confine within the hotel. So we'll find a hotel where all the activities are within that area. So it's a very simple holiday. So when you say, you go to a whole different level, Shaoning, with the whole Excel sheet and everything. We just plan, in the morning we do this and that, so that the kids get the most out of it, because we pay a lot of money for it, right? Because we have to, pay double most of the time. So that's horrible. TripAdvisor is my way to go when I travel alone. So I just pinpoint where and stuff, and it can even give you a route. Because like you said, the whole, you want to find the most efficient way, because you get to manage your time and so forth. And so that's interesting. Sheet. I'm not going to go down that path. No. Keep it to yourself.
You can have it as a template for any of y'all who want to travel.
Okay, Sharice doesn't want it, but I think I'd be interested to at least see the spreadsheet.
I'm disappointed, Lynn.
You know, because this article says that being bored is good for your health, right? The whole premise is that we lead such busy lives, so we should take a step back, we shouldn't be engaged with technology, we should slow down, and being bored is good for your mind, imagination, and productivity.
And it says that being bored is good for kids too, Sharice, so that you don't necessarily have to ensure they maximize every minute of time, because if they're bored, they will think of things to fill the time themselves. It encourages their imagination.
I love how you say that with so much conviction.
And I do. Yeah, I do. I'm sorry.
I don't believe it, because I'll be stressed out if I didn't plan. Okay, stressed out to the max.
All right, let us know what you think. Do you fall on the side of planning or going with the flow? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back with more discussions about changing the Paris skyline after this, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Roxanne by The Police, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shariat and Shaoning. So ahead of the Olympics 2024, the mayor of Paris has a whole bunch of plans to bring Paris into the modern era. And Reuters has an article about this, and it highlights things. So some of the plans include re-landscaping gardens around the Eiffel Tower, building a pedestrian bridge across the River Seine, and one which has gained some controversy is the first city centre skyscraper since the 1970s. And there have been actually a number of legal challenges, particularly against the skyscraper project, because people don't want to change the Paris skyline. So what do you guys think about this?
Yeah, well, it's it's different in Europe, isn't it? I mean, they have a lot of say with regards to how the city, how their areas are being developed, how their, you know, how their neighborhood are being developed in comparison to us, for an example, where we have absolute no control and there's always constant development going on. So, yeah, well, I wonder, since it's been a while, they've had anything, you know, developed since 1970s. So we have to, you know, it's okay. It's Olympics. Come on, have something. Have something up. Have something done.
I'm kind of sad that we have no say over our city skyline, Charitz.
We don't.
I hope we do. I hope we increasingly have a voice, you know, in terms of how our KL city looks like or whatever city you live in Malaysia, right?
I mean, public hearings have been abolished, so...
Well, we've had that conversation and you know how I feel that it should continue. But I'm all for conservation, actually, because I think that, you know, in many ways, like when you go to Paris, you go there because you want to see Paris in a particular way, right? You want to see the Arc de Triomphe. Lynn is going to kill me as I slaughter the French words.
It's okay. It's recognizable. That's what counts.
The Eiffel Tower. You don't want to see this Eiffel Tower. And then at the back, there's something else. Why would you go there all the way to see that? You'd be so disappointed, right? So once you allow a lot of development, don't you completely change the look, the charm and the feel of a city?
I think it's not necessarily a lot of development here. I mean, I would assume that the mayor of Paris would be fully aware of the nature, the historic and heritage, the kind of heritage nature of the city. So you don't want to jeopardize that. But at the same time, what's wrong with one building?
Starts with one building, and then how many more buildings will we suddenly approve?
Yeah, that's true. You know, it starts off with one. But okay, like France, Europe, they're not doing so well economically now, are they? I mean, growth is abysmal over there.
But tourism is still very, very strong, and people go there because of the city, how the city looks.
I mean, it's not going to reduce it, is it? I mean, there's much more than the Eiffel Tower in Paris. Besides, there's... I don't want to pronounce anything because since Lynn is around, I'm going to be embarrassed, but I know that there's that beautiful museum or, you know, something.
No, but I mean, if you actually look at London, London is another classic example, right? They have this thing called the St. Paul's Heights, right, which was these bylaws established in 1937. And within this area, within the St. Paul's Church area, the City of London's planning department doesn't allow high-rise buildings, although there are actually some buildings who do infringe that already, either because they were in the plan before this 1937. But that's why when you look at the City of London, it's relatively flat.
Yes, but then there are some parts of the City of London, particularly around areas like the Shard, right, and where you are seeing modern developments coming up amidst really old buildings. And I personally find that quite amusing, quite quaint, when you go there and you see buildings that have been around for hundreds of years right next to a building called the Gherkin, for example. So that to me lends character to a city. So I don't really see that as a negative. But I guess this is also a question of how is a skyscraper in the middle of Paris going to change the area around it, say change traffic flows? Because, I mean, here, obviously, you have to do social impact and traffic impact assessments before you go through with any kind of development in the city. So that I guess that will be a question as well that the mayor of Paris is going to have to address.
It's true. I mean, if you look at Paris, right, they only allow high-rise developments, if I'm not wrong, from the south of the Eiffel Tower and after the La Défense, right? Nothing within a radius.
Okay.
So I would like that kind of radius imposed, actually.
But isn't this the case, though? I mean, it is a few kilometres away from the Eiffel Tower.
I'm not sure how close this skyscraper is towards the Eiffel Tower.
Right.
But there should be some bylaws. It can't be like everyone just put in their plans and then voila, before you know it, there's skyscrapers everywhere.
Now, how do we feel about a redevelopment of old buildings, though? For example, the National Gallery in Singapore, because I believe that used to be the old City Hall and Supreme Court, and they have they ran a design competition and on how to bridge those two buildings and came up with the National Gallery. And I've been there, and it's a beautiful place. It still preserves the kind of the old alongside the new.
Yeah, so I think that's a great idea. That's one way to sort of utilize and sort of rejuvenate, as well as, you know, put some new life into, you know, an old building, rejuvenation. I remember that back when I was in university, they took over a railway station and they redesigned it so that it could, you know, it could cater education and, you know, the university function, which is, and it also adds character and history to it as well.
So in Paris, fortunately for the mayor, but unfortunately for the people of Paris, I suppose, they have lost several legal challenges against the skyscraper currently coming up within the city centre. So I guess you can't always get what you want. And that, of course, is the title of our song coming up next by the Rolling Stones. We'll be back with more stories after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Finest Work Song by REM. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Shariz Abdullah and Wang Xiaoning. Now, last week, the social media was ablaze discussing the sentencing of 31-year-old Daniel Abdullah Tan, or better known as Abang Botak, and he was sentenced to 1 year in jail for smashing the windscreen of a motorist in a road rage accident. Now, a lot of the discussion has been over whether this is a fair punishment, despite his pleading guilty as well as being a first-time offender, and we're actually running a poll on this on the BFM Twitter. We're asking, what do you think is 1 year too harsh of a sentence? Tell us, you can head over there and vote at BFM Radio. Your options are yes, no, and no opinion. And do tell us why you decided to vote that way. And I tend to err on the side of yes, it is a fair, yes, it's a fair punishment for me, because this is essentially we're setting an example here, right? Because that this is not something that we tolerate in a civil society. Because if you've watched the video that emerged over the incident, he actually stopped the car that overtook him. He stopped his motorcycle in front of it and forced the car to stop and smashed the windscreen of the car with his helmet.
Okay, so road bully is it's common in Malaysia. I think a lot of people have experienced it in one way or another. Whether it's just a matter of the degree, whether it's that look that you get, or to the, you know, you can go to extreme where it could actually be physical harm, where the person could actually go up and harm you. And I think that's my sort of yardstick as to what. Or how someone should be punished. I think I draw the line as to when there's physical harm involved. I'm not saying I condone this in any way. I'm just saying that 1 year. I'm just looking at what's happened since 1 year of jail time, a first time offender, and he did break. Well, he broke the lady's windscreen, and she is an elderly lady as well. So I think it's that part to consider. But my concern about jail time is that what it can do to someone, whether or not it's a question that it does someone good or bad when you go in jail. So at the moment, if he is, I mean, this is a something behavior. Something behavior is one thing. Something is another thing, right? And something goes, if a something or a thug goes into jail, it could either get worse because of the network and the thing. I mean, I've heard some nasty things that happened there. But if you're not something, whether or not it's a conducive place for you to actually be rehabilitated. That's where I'm sort of leaning towards.
Well, when I saw the video and I tried to put myself into that lady's shoes, right?
Yeah.
I would have been honestly terrified because, okay, I might have honked at these two guys on a motorbike, and actually she just honked. She didn't really do anything to them and then overtook them. And then somehow they went on this kind of ballistic rage and chased her, right, for at least 1 or 2 minutes. Imagine you're driving your car and you're being chased by these two guys on a motorbike. It's actually really scary. Then he practically stops her, takes off his helmet and smashes her windscreen. And you don't know how far this would go, right? And I would say, if I was the woman, I would be petrified.
Yeah, I think you have to remember here that actually, so a lot of people will say, oh yeah, you know, this was just damage to a car, this was not premeditated. But the thing is, helmets, steering locks, these are all items that could be lethal weapons, you know, if utilized wrongly. So this is why these incidences are so scary, because you can imagine yourself in their place, because we've all been on the receiving end of this kind of a yelled insult on the road, and you don't know when that will escalate. For me, you know, you make a good point, Sharitz, that, you know, we don't know what jail time will do to him as a first-time offender, as the only breadwinner of his family. But I think that is definitely a problem that our prison system as a whole needs to address, because we tend not to put too much focus on rehabilitation so much as punishment. And that is, there are generally two broad categories of prison systems. If you look at Scandinavia, they tend to err more on the side of rehabilitation, whereas here in Asian cultures, as well as in the US, it tends to be more of a punishment-based system. And I disagree with that inherently. But at the same time, he was given the minimum sentence. So under the law that he was charged with, which was section 427, I believe, of the Penal Code, it's 1 to 5 years, and he was only given 1 year. So for me, that is enough leeway that was already given to him.
Okay, so I think that's when politicians have sort of come in and start questioning whether or not this law should be amended, and whether or not a lighter sentence could be, the range of sentences could be, a new range of sentences could be introduced. And I hear your point. Definitely, our rehabilitation, whether jail time is a good rehab center is another thing. But this does reflect our mindset, isn't it? This whole something thing, and I think it's an ongoing thing. Overall, there is a need for Malaysians to just be a bit more patient. I don't know in detail as to what transpired during this period, during this event. But I do know that sometimes it does. There's always two parties involved when things escalate. For an example, if I get annoyed with the driver in front of me, there's this, the right thing to do is just to either, pass them and just ignore them. But sometimes there are instances when you get upset and people start staring at each other and you give that look. I'm not condoning any of this behavior. It's unacceptable. But that's when it's that inability to gauge how things could escalate, And at the end of the day, this is a lesson learned.
I don't know. I mean, when you look at legal cases, right, there's always this reasonable man's test. So the question is, this woman, she horned this guy. Is it reasonable that he chases her for 2-3 minutes, comes down his motorbikes, takes his helmet, and then smashes the windscreen? Okay, I'm no legal expert, but I don't think his behavior is reasonable.
Yeah.
The other thing is also, as a society, do we need to send a bigger message, a more powerful message to people like this, that such behavior is not acceptable? You do not, go out and commit violent, this is quite violent and quite dangerous acts against a quite elderly woman, anyone.
Yeah. Violence should never be the answer. So I guess now the question, it's clearly, we are quite divided in the studios. We're slightly reflective of public opinion. And we are, so please do tell us what you think. We're running a poll on the BFM Twitter. That's at BFM Radio. And we're asking, is 1 year too harsh of a sentence for Abang Botak? Please tell us what you think. And we'll take a look at some answers after this. Be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Love Fool by The Cardigans, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharitz and Xiao Ning. Thank you for your messages this morning. We've had some interesting discussions about holidays, whether we want to preserve or develop, as well as the story of Abang Botak and whether his punishment was justified. And we've had a number of responses, tweets and WhatsApps.
That's right. So we got a tweet from Michael. Thanks, Michael. Vacation means for venture. For me, it means venture. Less details is better, plan changes according to needs. So it's, Michael's a spontaneous guy. I envy him. I wish I can be like him.
Kelvin is another very spontaneous guy. He says, I love traveling solo. Just get the tickets, hit for the adventure and let's get lost. Don't plan. And it says it's about visiting the place and trying to make local friends as he goes along.
That's quite nice. I mean, on the couple of times that I've traveled alone, this kind of has been the idea that I wanted to achieve, just want to hit the ground, just find out how the locals live, eat where they eat. Realistically, though, I've never been able to achieve it because I get too stressed out by, getting as much out of my holiday as I can. And actually, I do wind up stressing myself a little bit more, I think.
I'm kiasu like you, Lynn. Maximize everything.
When I was a student and I can't afford to visit places, I could afford to travel, but I can't go to all these tourist attraction places. Making friends was one thing. It was exciting.
Now, we've also been running a poll on the BFM Twitter, that's at BFM Radio, and we asked, what do you think is 1 year too harsh of a sentence for Abang Buta? And actually, 50% of the respondents said, yes, it is too harsh. 30% said no, and 16% said no opinion. But if you take a look at the WhatsApps and tweets that we've gotten in, actually, the majority of the responses here seem to be that, no, it's not too harsh a sentence. So that's quite an interesting difference there.
Yeah, we have like Kevin who says that regarding his point about being the breadwinner of his family, that's his problem. And that shouldn't be part of the consideration in terms of the punishment.
Yeah, so I think that's why law is there in the first place, isn't it? I mean, it's trying to eliminate any contributing factors that could, you know, that could sort of influence the judgment. And we also have Chiang Chin Wing. Thanks for your tweet saying that Abang Buta, well, he felt that he deserved it. And, you know, this sends a strong message. Speaking of message, whether we could get more out of Abang Buta, I mean, for him to, this would be my 2 cents worth. It's like he speaks out there and do a PSA and tell people stop doing it.
Yeah, Chia Tian Yuan says that revoking his license could be a good choice. I do agree. I think that should be part of it. I don't agree, though, that his family should also be made to suffer the same punishment as him because they weren't the ones guilty of the crime.
Right.
So they shouldn't be forced to scramble for, you know, to basically get food on their table, right? But so in that situation, I don't think he should get the leeway, but I definitely think that there should be support systems in place for a family like that to fall back on.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, Yap also said that he thinks that road bullying behavior is shouldn't be permitted, and this jail time is going to be a good deterrent example for everyone.
Yeah, but so this is going to be an interesting case, isn't it? But at the end of the day, the law has been written. This and like you said, it is the minimum. It is the lightest sentence that he got, which is 1 year jail. It's unfortunate that all this had to happen in the first place.
Yeah, I think ultimately the law has been deliberated on and amended and it exists for a reason, right? So we are not. So what he did in his situation is that he decided that this woman had done him wrong, and he decided to take the law into his own hands. So that is an emotion-driven response, and we also can't respond saying it's, you know, too light or too harsh. This is the reason why we are not making the laws, because we are not objective, and the law is as objective as that's what the law exists to be. Now we'll be back. We're coming up on the 7 o'clock news, and after that we're going to be having more business stories for you, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.